Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI. Today, I'm very pleased to introduce you to my colleague and friend, Dr. Sarah Sheard, a fellow researcher at the SEI. In today's podcast, we will talk about research that aims to reduce complexity of aircraft systems and software. Before we begin, let me tell you about our guest. Sarah is a senior engineer in the SEI Software Solutions Division, who has authored several publications on systems and software engineering in the sustainment phase, as well as other phases of the development cycle, and has helped the Air Force with their software engineering manual. She's been with us since she joined the SEI in late 2012. Her current work includes both research in the fields of systems and software engineering and application of SEI technologies for government customers. She has expertise in cyber-physical systems, measurement and analysis, lifecycle technical support, sustainment, system security engineering, system of systems requirements, architecture, software development processes, and systems engineering processes. She is a Jill of many, many trades. So she's got lots of expertise to share with us. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
Let's start off by talking about the growing complexity of systems and software and why we're concerned about this.
Well, Susan, everybody knows that things are getting more and more complex. It's just something that we have a gut feel about. As we put more software into our products, the software gets complex for a couple of reasons. One, it uses yesterday's software as well as adding today's software. And two, the software has to connect to other software.
Software may have been built yesterday or today. So we've got this combinatorial of different systems that have different legacies that all are trying to work together.
We may be expecting our software to interface and work with software that hasn't been built yet and hasn't been defined, will be in different languages. So that's a much harder problem. In general, people talk about complexity, but they don't really say what they mean. So we were trying to figure out what that means, in particular, in its relationship to aircraft avionics in particular.
Okay. And so what about aircraft avionics makes it particularly useful as an area to deal with this subject in?
Well, we just had a recent incident where an Airbus plane went down. It was military aircraft, went down because we didn't load the software configuration correctly. We have known in the field or have had gut feels in the field for a very long time that software has ways to go wrong that although we expect they're there and we look at them in reverse, we've seen how they got there, we can't predict them from just looking at the software. There are just so many steps that have to be taken, for example, in loading software, like the Airbus did incorrectly. But there are so many possibilities of what might happen depending on the actual values of the data that the software is working with. So we are concerned that one of these days, we're going to have a problem that we didn't anticipate and that's going to hurt people.
That's rooted in the software
or in the systems that involve software like the avionics systems. The amazing thing in my mind to date is that we haven't had more of these. I'm very impressed at how safe flying is. I'm just afraid for the future a little bit. And we want to proactively take a look into what could go wrong, what in particular about complexity. Can we tell how complex something is? And can we tell, given that value, whether it's a numeric number or perhaps a qualitative number, does that tell us anything about how sure we are that the software will be safe and the system?
And how can we establish that confidence?
Exactly.
Okay. And so you've started research into this area. What was the impetus for it, for this particular piece of your research?
Well, the FAA actually came to us and suggested that we might be able to solve this. We've had some work with them before that touched on this area in terms of virtual integration of software architecture. And they asked that we would work on the complexity. It fell in my lap because of my recent doctorate on complexity and systems. So it turns out it's quite an interesting extension from that work, looking specifically about what about the software is complex.
So according to your recent blog post on this research, you recently completed the first two phases of this research, and that was a literature review and an initial look at measures related to this. Tell us about some of your findings.
The interesting thing about the literature review, which was intended to find all the definitions of complexity out there and then figure out which ones related to systems and software, was nobody defined it. Okay, we found that out. Nobody has a definition of complexity that's more complex or more useful than, say, Webster's. But when we looked into it, we found that there were a couple of aspects of complexity that kept cropping up and that were important. One was the causes of complexity, and one was what I'll say the effects of complexity or the impacts. So we did quite a bit of work, a taxonomy actually, of what kinds of causes cause something to be complex, whether it's software or even systems, and then what impacts it has on you, the designer, the operator, the user, that the fact that that thing is complex. So we ended up realizing from the literature search that we really had to not talk about a definition so much as what are the important attributes of it correctly. In the measurement phase, I mean, clearly the idea is to understand how complex something is. Independent of this work prior to it, and it's being reinforced by the work I'm doing here, I'm realizing that you really can't have a measure of complexity. And the reason is measurement is simplification. So if I say, how big am I could give you my weight, or I could give you my height. Okay, that would tell how big I am. But it won't tell me until I go to the store and try things on which size I take. And won't tell me, you know, whether I'm healthy in that size or not. So it's a simplification where we get a very simple number that represents something more complex. Now, if you take something like complexity and try to simplify it, are you not trying to measure something in terms of its opposite? So you can't measure red by saying how green it is. And I don't think you can measure complexity by saying something simple about it. That said, complexity is a notion that we all have, and something about the complexity we can measure. So we can measure, say, algorithmic complexity, or we can measure McCabe complexity, or we can measure any particular kind of complexity, or other things that we know are related to complexity, whether they're causes of complexity or impacts of. So we're just, in the second report, we just came up with a list of measures, as it turns out, of software complexity. That will be expanded to more of systems complexity related, for example, to the avionics hardware as well as the software. In other words, we're trying to determine in what ways we might possibly be able to measure the complexity of what we have. We started in the second phase by looking what's out there and kind of collecting these metrics for software again. And we'll come up with a little bit perhaps more innovative or on the edge, out on a limb type of metrics. And then at a later phase, we're going to reduce those numbers and bounce them against data to see which ones actually predict safety problems.
Okay. So you're really going from a list of attributes, measuring a list of attributes, to trying to find something that I'll just call, for simplicity's sake, an index that helps you to compare. Because the purpose of these measures often is to say, is this more or less complex than that? And so even though the absolute number may not, or the absolute measure may not be as accurate as we like, if we can get something that helps you to compare things, that could still be useful.
Actually, you've hit on something that's another interesting aspect. When you talk about more or less complex, we have to look at two fundamental kinds of complexity. One is what I'll call the objective complexity, which means how many pieces are there in a system, and how are those pieces connected? Are they tightly connected? Is it something that's a fragile connection? Are they resilient in a way that things aren't going to mess each other up? What is the function and the nature of the system connections? The second kind I'm going to call subjective complexity, after some work by UK professor Hilary Sillitoe. Subjective complexity is more in terms of the impact it has on us. So the first one could be complexity in terms of what causes it, and the subjective is how does that affect us? So it makes it difficult for us. It makes it so that we can't predict. It makes it so that we feel there is risk, you know, and all these kind of subjective things to it. The funny thing I've discovered when doing this work is from year to year, the objective complexity, how many pieces you have and how tightly or in what convoluted manner are they connected, that increases from year to year. Every year things get more complex, and I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. Oddly enough, at the same time, the subjective complexity of things that were complex last year are less complex now. And the way I best describe that is when the Wright brothers first flew their airplane, that was the most complex thing that ever went into the sky. It was the only thing that ever went into the sky that actually worked. And it had all these numbers of things that people didn't know about. They didn't know about aerodynamics. They didn't know about fluid flow over the aircraft or how to control it or anything. Nowadays, of course, our planes are much, much more complex. But the Wright brothers looks ridiculously simple. So anything we have this year is going to look simpler next year, less complex next year. So the subjective complexity of any given thing will go down with time. And I attribute that in a way to the definition that we came up with, which, and I don't have it exactly, but complexity is the relationship of the number of things that cause problems to our ability to deal with them. And our ability to deal with them goes up as we develop good tools, as we develop, for example, in the case of the Wright brothers airplane, understanding of the fluid dynamics of the atmosphere and of control theories. And we have new tools like now we have computer-controlled avionics and things that reduce what the pilot has to deal with.
Cognitive load
on
the pilot.
So we can deal with much larger complexity than we used to be able to.
So that actual comparison, is this more complex than that? Has a lot of contextual factors associated with it.
I think so. I'm not inclined to do a more or less, although that is certainly easier to do than an absolute one, because you can say that, you know, a bottle of water is less complex than a pitcher of punch, because you've got all these different aspects of the punch, and it has to be a certain temperature, and did you mix it properly? Is your sherbet melting as you're doing it? So we can compare that more easily, and that may end up being one of the tactics we choose to take. On the other hand, the FAA wants to know, how confident are we, based on its complexity attributes, how confident are we that it is safe? Is it 90% safe? Are we 50% confident that it's safe? After we go past some number, are we only 10% confident? And I'm going to throw in the wrinkle that I think I haven't told them about yet, that it might be only 50% safe this year, but maybe it'll be 90% safe after we've developed another way of predicting or a new tool or some modeling or some virtual integration, for example. It implies a way to mitigate and reduce the complexity.
Right.
You will never reduce, in my mind, the objective complexity. It's going to be worse next year than it is.
Yeah.
But you can reduce the effective complexity our ability to deal with it.
So the current state of the practice, from what I'm hearing you say, is that we've got kind of a handle on objective complexity attributes, that there's a lot of those that are understood. This subjective complexity, we have some things that we're looking at, but that seems like that's the area where you're going to be doing a lot of more research to connect the subjective and figure out what is our ability to deal with different kinds of objective complexity. Is that where we're at?
Well, that makes a lot of sense, but I don't think I can do that. I think even though there are measurements out there for different types of objective complexity, we don't have anything that, except for the McCabe complexity, which is within one particular program, we don't have anything that's proven to be measurable in a way that's consistently measured from case to case in different implementations.
In different contexts.
So I think there's a big step in coming up with something that's actually usable and comparable across different kinds of aircraft systems.
And you're looking for something that's persistent.
Something that will be true, yes, over time. In terms of subjective complexity, I think that's almost too far in the future. I mean, we're just starting to understand that that's important right now. I don't know. Maybe we'll come up with something great. Stay tuned.
Well, we're not going to discover anything unless we start researching it, right?
That's correct.
So this area of research is really in its infancy in some ways. I mean, I know complexity has been studied for decades, but this aspect of trying to actually build insight into the confidence of how complex is it and how does that relate to other quality attributes like safety. I can imagine if you figure out how to predict safety, somebody's going to want you to predict security and, you know, other quality attributes in the future. So you can be busy with this for quite a while.
Absolutely.
But so you're really at the beginning of that kind of connection and trying to figure out what are the important aspects of subjective in connection to the objective complexity and building a taxonomy for objective complexity to work with.
Maybe that's where we have to go. It'd be great if we could figure something useful out of it.
So people are still out there building systems for airlines that are software intensive. Is there something they can do now from your initial research to help them do a better job at building their software systems?
Well, my thought about that at this point is, you know, that a literary and academic taxonomy isn't necessarily of use, but I think in one way it is, okay? Because when you're building a system that is getting more complex, I think just having a list of things to consider about how complex they are
about,
that you can then go and rate, and even on a subjective scale of really, really a big problem, might be a problem, probably not a problem, or don't even think about it. If you can just have that 4-point scale on these things, then what you can do is take your really, really big problems and your probably a problems and study what risks they leave you with. And then how can you assess the risk and how can you mitigate it? So if you take some of the more scientific, you know, complex system science type of things, like how much chaos might there be in the system, or, you know, who the nodes and the edges or the independent actors. And those are some ways I see right now that you can interpret your system. You can, a lens you can view it through to determine where your risks might be.
And then we do have some newer tools like the virtual integration work that Peter Filer and his colleagues are working on that actually give you some ways to test some of those ideas and think about them from a modeling viewpoint, which is very new in the last 10 years for us to be able to do that. So there are some new avenues for actually using that insight that we didn't have before.
Well, in my wildest dreams, I would have, like, you know, those tree finders that we used to have, their little book, and you'd flip the pages, and if the leaf had three lobes, and you go to page 86, and if it had one lobe or is round or something, you'd go over there. I would really love to have some sort of a complexity finder that you could do some sort of a internet quiz even on your system, and it would tell you, well, you're going to have problems here, there, and the other place. And so the kinds of experience that we're going to need in looking and dealing with complexity of software systems is not simply computer science.
Right. Right.
There's a lot of that icky, touchy-feely stuff that we've tried to get away from when we became engineers in the first place that we're going to have to deal with and have to learn how to do that. I think that systems engineers have learned and they've been dealing with the people aspects of it to some extent. I mean, they're not anthropologists and they're not psychologists, but they do have a requirement to understand the system into which the system they're building will fit. And I think that is also the direction software engineers are going to be going, at least the bigger picture software engineers rather than the coders.
So you have two phases complete. What is the next phase for this research?
We're trying to do more of a study of these potential metrics that we came up with. And as I mentioned, one, extend those to some of the system metrics, but more importantly, try to connect those to safety implications and see which ones are most indicative of safety issues.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. This is very interesting. This is research I have not had a chance to spend much time with, so I'm very excited about it. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. This particular podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. We also have a blog post available on this on our blog page. And as always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening.